Good morning. It's 8:18 here on the ticket. The Musers in Augusta, Georgia for the Masters. Courtesy Gentleman Jack, we have had a fantastic time. Hardline is on their way back. They're going to be at the Texas Motor Speedway this afternoon. We've got the Duck Commander 500 this weekend at the TMS. We're going to go to round two of the Masters this afternoon. Can't wait for that. Yesterday was a truly magical experience, and it's been a lot of fun with our traveling buddies, our golf buddies, the Hardliners. We've had a great time here the last 48 hours. Before we get to our trip to the Masters yesterday and Jordan Spieth's incredible 66, given the conditions and given how the other favorites played, a couple of hypotheticals. In the emergency break of the week, we just heard Jer's 3-inch putt that he left short. So after walking that course yesterday, what do you think Jer would shoot?
18 holes.
18 holes. Now, Jer was just crowned worst golfer at the ticket.
Yeah.
18 holes, tournament conditions, and you're counting everything like they do. What do you think his score would be?
He would not break 200.
Oh, there's no way.
I don't think he would break 250, but I don't want to say he's going to shoot 300.
What would I shoot myself?
You know what? In all seriousness, you know what I think he would shoot? I think he would shoot 600. I really do.
No,
I really do. I thought about this last night.
Because you're counting every shot.
Because you're counting every shot, and there's going to be a lot of water that he's got to get over, you know, and he's going to dump a lot in the drink.
Can we have the rule that he only gets to dump one?
And once he – no.
He's got to play it out.
And once he gets on these greens, which are lightning fast and all sorts of undulation, I think he would shoot 600.
He might. And, hey,
because, look, he had a 23 on a hole at Grand Prairie.
I know. Yeah, maybe he would shoot 600. We'll never know, because I don't think Jer will ever get to play Augusta National, just like we will never get to play Augusta National.
You never know.
But I did think of Jer when we got here a couple of days ago, and I thought that same thing, Jer on these greens and what that would look like.
The other hypothetical at dinner last night was offered by Killer. He said, you can play the first two rounds of the Masters, but if you don't make the cut, you will lose a leg.
Gosh.
Which is the dumbest hypothetical ever, I thought, because none of us are going to make the cut, and is playing two rounds in the Masters worth losing a leg? Well, of course not, except one guy here thought he might accept that.
I had to at least think about it, and then declined. I eventually declined. But I thought, wait a minute now. I get to play Augusta National 2 days, and not just play it. I'm in the tournament, so I could be playing with Jordan Spieth.
Right. But then you're not going to make the cut. Even though you're a good golfer, you're not making the cut here, and you're going to lose a leg.
Do they do that all the way up? Do they do it on 18? They do it in front of the gallery and everything? They saw off his leg?
No, it wouldn't be that violent. But
okay,
yeah.
But at least you ended up thinking about it.
Yeah, I eventually declined, but I at least didn't think about it.
Well, we've had such fun here with hypotheticals. With the way Gentleman Jack has treated us, they've really rolled out the red carpet. And yesterday, after the show ended, we got our badges, and we walked across the street and onto the hallowed grounds of Augusta National. And it was such a magical experience. I know we all enjoyed it. I didn't know, I kind of knew what to expect because we watched the tournament for so many years. But when we first walked through the gates and you walk down this path and everything's perfectly manicured and you've got the clubhouse on one side and you've got the golf shop and concessions, that first little, what they call the maze, I felt like I was in an amusement park. It felt like walking through Six Flags to me. Because it was like a fake world.
Yeah, I know. It was the whole, and I felt that way for a lot of yesterday. It was like it just wasn't real. Mm-hmm. Nothing looks like this. This looked like it was animated or something. Nothing can be that green and that spectacular and that well kept.
We walked across the number one fairway. We were going to walk down the opposite side of it, so. That was our first kind of moment to see the course. And so as we're cutting across the fairway, I said to George, oh, my God, we are walking on a fairway at Augusta National.
No. It's just, I thought about so many things, like, number one, how lucky we were and are to be here, because mm-hmm. there's so many who love this game and love this tournament and have never been. And I thought, man, someday I need to take my kids here, certainly my oldest son, who's a great golfer and loves this tournament and is a golf historian, can tell you anything about the Masters. He needs to see this someday. And I thought about my dad, who never traveled to watch golf tournaments. He took me to the Colonial. We watched the Texas State Open, the Byron Nelson. He was a marshal, the PGA Championship in San Antonio way back in the day. My dad was the biggest golf nut. And I wish I would have had the foresight to get him here.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't, you know, back when I certainly didn't have the money to get him here. And he's just one of those who didn't really travel. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't really think much about it. But, man, he would have just been blown away by this place. And I have a friend, too, that I went to high school with who texted me yesterday. I didn't realize this. He got an invite to come here, not as a player, but as a patron like us. And it was the week that he had to have emergency back surgery.
Oh, wow. Mm.
So I thought about Todd yesterday, too, and my good friend, who I hope someday gets a chance to come here, because it is everything that they tell you and that we tell you about it.
Yeah, the course is perfect. The grass is perfect. There is not a weed anywhere in sight. There's not a piece of trash anywhere in sight. Of course, you expected the fairways and greens to be perfect and the flowers and azaleas and whatnot. But what's also perfect, the grass between the holes, like in the big open spaces or the areas where the gallery is walking, that's all perfect grass.
You know, Gordon swore they were putting down turf, artificial turf.
It did look like turf.
Because there aren't any pathways worn by foot traffic or anything. The grass that's off the fairways is just as perfect as the grass in the fairways.
I know. I had to reach down and keep checking to see if, okay, this is fake. This part of mm-hmm. it's fake.
So do you think that, like, they have a team for each hole? Like, there's eight guys who are responsible for number one. Y'all take care of number one
maybe
for the next 6 months. Because if you just, you know, kind of randomly did it, okay, I'm the superintendent. I'm in charge of all 18 holes. I don't see how you keep up with all that. And it's that meticulous about every blade of grass. And do you notice the pine trees, how well-trimmed they were? And
yep.
In some cases, there would only be branches on one side because if they went the other way, they'd be too close to another tree. And I mean, every tree is in perfect shape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to know what those big blowers that were coming up out of the ground were doing.
Yeah, we got to find out what that's all about.
Because it would just be like a little, maybe 10 by 10 grate. It would be in the middle of the grass, nothing around it, but it would be blowing air
mm-hmm.
up out of the ground. What is that all about?
The only thing I can think of, some golf courses, you know, have fans to circulate air in an area that doesn't get good circulation. That's the only thing I could think of. But one of the areas was not a place that was surrounded by trees. It was the middle of the fairway
mm-hmm.
where this one was. I don't know what the heck that is.
I didn't realize this until our trip, but as soon as the tournament is over, they shut it down from now until October. And so members can't play, nobody plays, and they let everything grow back out. And any areas that may have been getting trampled or where the pros are landing their tee shots, for example, and there are a lot of divots and whatnot, they just let that all grow in. That's why it looks so thick and beautiful.
Yeah.
Because it's closed half the year.
And that's the key for these greens, too.
Yeah.
They don't have to go through a real hot summer with play, and
right.
they just let them go.
So, great experience. The course itself, really, really beautiful. Seeing 12 green for the first time was a real magical moment for me. George and I camped out at 13 green for a long time. That was the best vantage point on that par 5. You can
yes.
see players approaching, and then
awesome.
you're real close to the green, so you can see all the action there. And then everything around it was great. One of the things that three of us really enjoyed the most, the fact that nobody had a cell phone.
It was so great.
It was so different from anywhere else on Earth.
Every tournament should have that policy.
Yeah,
you check in your cell phone when you go through the gate.
There was just no pressure to check your text, to look at, looking back at history. Hey, did Arnie do this here? And
yeah.
then you'd go to your phone and everything. It was just, you realize what a distraction machine that is.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you're sitting there and your head was looking up at everything and you weren't walking with your nose in your phone and you weren't listening to some obnoxious conversation.
What's that? No, I'm on 13.
Where are you guys? Huh? Where?
humans were interacting with each other in person.
Mm-hmm.
People were having conversations, and that's the other vibe I got from that place. It's like stepping back in time. All the scoreboards are manual.
They need to update that.
There's nothing digital. Cool. You didn't see a single big screen, you know, with a player's bio, and then quickly it switches to the score, and then quickly it switches to an advertisement or whatever. You had the old-fashioned scoreboards. Nobody had cell phones, and everything just it could have been 1970 or 1950.
Yeah. It is kind of like stepping back in time that way.
They need to allow billboards here.
No
and
way.
Need billboard advertising.
Nah, it was great. And then just the proximity you have to the players. Now, yes, there are some areas that get pretty crowded, and you have to come up with a strategy. Okay, how do we get to that hole by walking around these grandstands and things like that? But compared to some other tournaments that we've been to in Dallas-Fort Worth, the Phoenix Open, it's really easy to get around, and you can get right next to player. We were so mm-hmm. close to Rory McIlroy yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, 10, 12 feet away. And that was really cool. We were very close to Jordan Spieth. We're about to talk about his great day. The one guy we didn't get to see yesterday that we plan on following a little bit today is Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to see Phil go around, but, man, it's still such a cool moment to be that close. You see these guys on TV, but it is different when you're 10 feet away from Jason Day.
Yeah.
And we saw him make a beautiful play on 13 to play across the water and set himself up for birdie before he had some trouble on the back nine. And just the proximity you have to the players is really accessible.
Saw Jim Nance's ass.
Yeah.
Below the 18th tower we did, yeah.
We also ran into Stephen Jones.
That's right.
Here watching golf yesterday, we talked to Stephen for a moment.
I swear half the guys I've seen here look like Stephen Jones to me.
And in his mind, he said this was special.
Yeah, he did. George christened our arrival at Amen Corner by backfiring, which was just awful.
I was scared at the prospect of Amen Corner.
We're walking up to 11T, and this is the moment we've all been anticipating. I turned to Gordo, and I said, "Welcome to Amen Corner." And then we heard what sounded like somebody stepping on a duck.
It was just
and it was George
so rude.
Who then claimed he'd had the holders all day.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse for y'all.
Until we arrived.
I don't know if it was the pimento cheese or what, but I spared you a
doesn't
lot.
Doesn't run through you that quick, does it?
I don't know.
Until we arrived at the most hallowed ground in golf.
Boy, that was great going through there. We went through Amen Corner twice yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Circled back around because we saw Rory, who was in the final group of the day, come through there. And so we went back around again. And as the day unfolded, we saw that it was each passing hour that it was clear that there was one dude who was having an incredible day. He's Dallas's own Jordan Spieth, who fired a 6-under-66 yesterday. And we saw him on the back nine. We started on one and walked around the front nine. Then we saw that he was really doing some damage, and he got the 3-under, then he got the 4-under at the turn. He got it to 5 early in his back nine. And so we found him at number 15, the par 5, coming down the fairway. He walked right by us after he hit a second shot. He laid up, and he had about he almost knocked it in the water on his second shot.
Yep.
And when he got up there, he put his hands on his head like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I came that close to knocking it in the water. He had a really nice approach shot, two-putted for par there. We saw his great save at 16. Again, he walked right by us as he was going over to hit what was turned out to be an incredible up and down. He goes around 18 holes yesterday, does not make a bogey, and he's had 9 rounds here. 8 of them have been under par. He has not shot over par in any of his 9 rounds, and he has a 2-shot lead going into the second round. And there were so many big names like Jason Day right on his heels as they were going around the back nine, but he had a triple bogey at number 16, the par 3.
Everybody had bad moments yesterday, from Day to Fowler to McIlroy, everybody except Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, Bubba Watson had a meltdown. So that was my favorite vantage point was 13, but my favorite moment was seeing Jordan Spieth up close and personal. I just love that kid, as a lot of people in the Metroplex do. I just think he's incredible, not only as a player, but as a person, really struck with what he has done at such a young age and how mature he seems to be. And I had Under Armour gear on yesterday, got my Under Armour hat on, and I think this is how it went down, okay? As he approached 18, and he's 5 under par, he didn't really look into the gallery much yesterday that I noticed. We saw him 4 or 5 different holes. We went up 17 with him as well. On 18T, took out his driver, and he looked down the left side of the gallery, and he looked right at me. And he saw my Under Armour hat. He grew up in Dallas. There's a chance he listened to the ticket. I think he had Jubb recognition. And he almost gave me a knowing nod.
Did he do a double take or something? Or was it just a lingering stare?
It was a lingering stare for, I mean, he may have been looking at a good-looking girl behind me or something. But I looked at him. There's really no one around me. And we made eye contact. And then he went up there, striped his drive right down the middle, made birdie at 18. So I would like to take credit for his birdie at 18. I think the fact he said, wow, I've got a dude
my
here from Dallas
supporting me here.
I haven't heard anybody from Dallas. My hometown is behind me.
He felt lonely before then.
Yeah, but
then he sees you.
I'm not alone here. There's someone else from Dallas.
Then he really put his round together there on the 18th.
Yeah, that's when it all came together. Meantime, there's 20,000 people screaming Jordan all day long. You know, people love him here.
There's no doubt that he recognized you.
Yeah, you're the Jebbinator.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never met him. Someday we will, and we'll have a really interesting conversation. But
he said, hey, Gordo, and gave me thumbs up.
He did not.
He did. There's no way that he has to know about the ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. Yeah.
Unless he just knows about me from other sources.
Well, and he's been on the ticket. He's been on with Norm before. And we've put in requests, but it'll happen someday.
Yeah, as I was walking around the back of the 18 green, I guess he had just wrapped up his round, and he was walking off, and I felt two hands grab my shoulders. And I turned around, and it was Jordan, and he goes, hey, Junes, love Sal in South Philly. So he recognized me, too.
Okay.
So he must have recognized you.
These are made-up stories now.
He said to me that he really enjoyed Ball Bruiser, but thought that we could do it differently next time, and he gave me some jokes.
We made eye contact, and that's the cool thing about, well, any golf tournament, but here at Augusta, you really can't get that close to the players. And that's 66. Our friend Grant Boone from CBS points out on Twitter today, that's 8 better than the scoring average yesterday. And there were more rounds in the 80s on day one. There were 9 of them than rounds in the 60s. There were 8 rounds in the 60s yesterday, including Jordan Spieth's 66. That shows you how tough it was yesterday.
So what's he going to do for an encore? Well, we understand that he will be participating in round 2 today, so we're going to find out.
He was invited back.
He was invited back.
Yeah, he gets to come back for round 2.
All right, it's 8:36 here on the ticket. Coming up next, we're going to have some fun.
Yeah, we are going to have some fun, and I have some secret information that you guys don't know about golf that I do.
Okay, it's 8:42 here on the ticket. Coming up in 15 minutes, it's our weekly visit with Daryl Razor Ray. We'll talk about the Stars and how the end of the season is shaping up for this team and what the playoffs might look like in terms of foes. We are in Augusta, Georgia at the Masters. We'll attend the second round today. It's been a great couple of days here at golf's big event. And we're going to have a little fun now as we continue the Masters and golf theme.
Yes, and this is fun with a Masters moment with Gordo. That's what we call this.
Okay. Okay.
Hit the music, Expo. Hello, friends. It's your pal Gordo here.
Creepy.
I'm not as creepy as Jim Nantz, who did come up with the phrase, hello, friends. What would you say are Jim Nantz's top 3 catchphrases?
Hello, friends.
Mm-hmm.
Y-E Yang, Y-E-S.
No, we're talking about phrases he repeatedly goes to.
He only used that once.
A tradition unlike any other.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And
tune in for 60 minutes.
What about one shining moment?
Did he come up with that?
Actually, he did.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've always wondered now, but one shining moment, actually was also credited to a guy named Doug Towey, who was a legend at CBS. And he had a big hand in the one shining moment. Well, Jim Nance revealed that that same guy had a hand in a tradition unlike any other. I turned to you yesterday as I was playing Dumb Stupid Question Guy and Dumb Stupid Golf Guy, which you guys are both getting annoyed with me
because
I was identifying various trees as Amen's Corner. And
yeah, I meant to mention, when I finally had my moment with Jordan Spieth, I had to put my fingers in my ear so I didn't hear your commentary, because here Jordan Spieth was approaching the 15th green, but I couldn't concentrate because you're going, he's gonna three this dog leg. He's gonna aim
it looks,
that corner.
It looks
this
like he's laying seven, and he's gonna probably do a par for two.
Yeah, your worst moment was when you leaned over to me and you pointed just in no direction in particular across a fairway, and you said, "Hey, you know what? From here to somewhere over there, that's Amen's Corner. Amen's Corner."
That's right.
And it was just a stretch, an innocuous stretch of fairway.
It went on for like 45 minutes.
What does he have here?
Mad.
Is that a 5-iron or is that a dog leg? What's he going to use here?
The problem is Gordo knows about 7 golf terms, and he tries to constantly shoehorn all 7 in.
So I had been asking stupid golf questions and making stupid golf comments, and then I turned to Craig and I said, "I actually have a question." And he goes, "Okay, here's another illegitimate question from you about golf." And I said, "No, this is legitimate. Did Jim Nance come up with the phrase, a tradition unlike any other? Or is that something that predates him and has been associated with the Masters for longer than Jim Nance's 30 years?
I would have guessed yes.
That he came up with it?
I would have guessed no. I thought maybe it was Augusta National or CBS that came up with it as a marketing tool.
Right, and then he started using it.
Yeah.
Well, I saw it on a shirt
out
here. You see it on shirts out here.
I almost bought one of those yesterday.
And so I turned to Craig and I said, that was my question to him. Who came up with that? And Craig thought that was a great question. So I redeemed myself.
First one of the day, yeah.
Well, I found out who came up with it. And it was Jim Nance, with the help of this Doug Towey guy who came up with One Shining Moment with Jim Nance, too. So that's his co-writer on these things.
So they co-write moments.
Yeah. And we didn't know. It's been credited to Nance, as solely credited to Nance, for years and years. But recently, a question from Grant Hill prompted Jim Nance to spill the beans on who came up with this term, the tradition unlike any other. And he said, you know, it's been around a long time. There was a legend at CBS named Doug Towey, who was also the same guy who had a big hand in One Shining Moment, and we miss him, and he passed away a few years ago, and he was a great man. So that's basically all he said about that. So he did credit this other guy with also coming up with it. Now, Jim Nance was thought to be the sole owner of it. I say owner. He created it, but the Augusta National owns it. They filed a copyright on it about 3 years ago.
Smart. How could they do that if Jim created it?
Well, because they have a deal that everything that goes out on their broadcast is their intellectual property.
Okay.
And so Jim Nance comes up with this. It's so associated with him, yet they can file. They filed for it, and now they're selling T-shirts.
Wow.
With it.
So is this Bill Towey guy Jim Nance's ghostwriter? Has he come up with Y.E. Yang, and before his death, of course, Y.E. Yang, Y.E.S.?
Well, I was about to say he is a ghostwriter now.
Yeah. But all the old stuff, did he come up with all that?
It started in March, it ends in April, and it belongs to May.
Because those things are so clearly written. To me, it's conceivable that Jim Nance says to this guy, hey, we need to come up with some catchphrases for this event. These are the teams that are getting there, so send me what you got night before.
Huh.
And I think that this guy did write for Nance for quite some time. But Jim Nance apparently could not have filed for ownership of it. I think he would have been smart to go ahead and file it years and years ago. And Augusta may have not have fought him on it back then, but when they get the idea that they want it, they just take it.
I hope everybody was with us last week when we had that story about Jim Nance. He gave an interview about what Augusta and the Masters means to him how before the tournament starts, like on the Tuesday and the Monday after, he will go by himself out onto the course just to reflect. To reflect on the meaning of the whole event.
What do you mean the meaning of the whole
and
event?
And he wants to be by himself. And then
it's a golf tournament. It doesn't mean anything beyond itself.
And then sometimes he'll return to his room or the clubhouse, and he'll have a glass of his own wine that he makes called The Calling.
Please. That is so haughty. Is Jim Nance the whitest man in America?
Yes, without question. Without question.
And we saw his ass for one shiny moment yesterday.
We sure did.
And we started
an ass
a tradition.
Unlike any other.
Unlike any other. And that is your moment with Gordo at the Masters.
Oh, yes.
Your Masters moment.
Thank you, friend.
Here we are.
Thank
at the Championship
that.
Club, some 2 miles from 18.
Thank you.